Praise God, everybody. Good morning, everybody. We greet you in the grace, peace, joy, and love of God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Love to the family. Thank God for his love that we can share with one another. Come on, if you know God's been good to you, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen. We're grateful and thankful to the Lord for God allowing our moments to roll on just a little while longer. To those of you who are watching, wherever you are, on whatever platform you are on, thank you today for the privilege of your time. Thank you for allowing us into your space to inform your head, inspire your heart, and encourage your spirit to become all that God wants you to be. Remember, you're not watching us. Those who are here are not here to make us a big church. We're here to help you become the biggest and best Christian you can possibly be. So like us, love us, share us with family members and friends, and let them know there's never been a better time for hope. This past week, I was in Indianapolis, Indiana for a conference, a national conference on discipleship with several of our team members. And I got to tell y'all, if I got nothing else out of this conference, I was super godly proud of all of you who have made a commitment to make the main thing, the only thing in your life, to not only be a disciple of Jesus, but to help make disciples of Jesus. And man, it was such a great, great time. I want you to give yourselves a hand today just for being passionate about living life on purpose and allowing God to move in your life and allowing God to move through your life in such a powerful way. How many of y'all, man, were happy to see Reverend Sloan last week? Wasn't that a blessing? Pastor Sloan has been in Uganda since 2021, and man, it's just super excited to hear what God is doing in Uganda with he and his lovely wife, Marshall, doing a tremendous job. I'm really thankful that he was able to come and be with us. I was in New York at the Mount Nebo Baptist Church in Harlem, New York for their 87th church anniversary. Dr. Johnny Green is their pastor, and the Lord blessed us in a special way. But you know, I was watching and of course cheering for Pastor Sloan, and happy and glad that the Lord has blessed him in such a powerful way. I want to thank all of you who participated in our church-wide prayer emphasis last week. Whether you are in a rooted group, a discipleship group, or you're not, I ask you to make a concerted and specific effort to spend time with God in prayer. Prayer is one of those spiritual disciplines that we can never do enough. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by your prayer experience. I ask you to share some of your stories. And so if you have some stories of what God taught you during prayer, what God did through your prayer life, we certainly want to hear from those stories and we want to celebrate them. This Wednesday, May the 8th, this Wednesday, May the 8th at 7 p.m., we're going to have our virtual prayer ministry training for our virtual altar, and pull out your phones, register for it, go online so you can get the Zoom link. One of the things that we're going to be doing in our effort to take hope to the world is to train an army of prayer warriors who are prepared to pray with people wherever they are in the world. So whether they are contacting us locally, nationally, or internationally, during our worship service times online, we're going to have prayer warriors standing by. So when somebody says they would like prayer, they will literally click on a link, go into a Zoom room, and you'll be able to pray with them and minister to them face to face wherever they are in the world. And one of the things I want you to know is for people around the world, Christianity is not practiced out of convenience, it's practiced out of commitment. So there are people who are watching us right now. It's 4 o'clock in the morning where they are. They set their alarm clock and get up to watch this service live. Now, there are others who may watch it all during the day, but there are people who are committed to worshiping the Lord and watching us at all times around the world. And so we're excited about this ministry opportunity. So those of you who consider yourselves prayer warriors, or you want to intercede on behalf of other people locally, nationally, and internationally, this is an opportunity for you to do that. Thank everyone who planned and participated in our Salt and Light Ministry Fair on last week. We had some 20 ministries represented in person and another 100 ministries represented via the portal. These are intended not just for our life group service projects. Now, we want you to do that, but the life group service projects are those projects that are designed to get you started. They're not the end all for your being salt and light. We want to help you to be salt and light every day of your life. And we had over 100 ministries that were available to sign up with through our portal. And so we're looking forward to God doing some great things. Make sure that you upload your videos, your pictures, so we can celebrate in the next couple of weeks where God is allowing you to be salt and light. And don't forget to pick up your t-shirt today after our morning service. This will be the final day for you to pick up your Rooted and Grounded t-shirt. This week we're moving into There Is an Enemy. There Is an Enemy, and helping you to overcome strongholds. And our messages, our songs are all intended to encourage you to recognize that you are in a fight, but that you can be victorious in that battle. Happy to see all of you are here. Happy to see Sunny, Messiah Giles here. She is the founder, owner of the Defender Network here. Wave your hand, Sunny. She's here. And my good friend Jody Giles, her husband, man, thank you all for coming and sharing with us. They have been friends to this pastor and this church down through the years, and we're certainly grateful and thankful that they came to worship with us today. We have a powerful testimony today. Come on up, Shaquana. She is a young lady who has gone through challenges and trials and tragedies in her life, and she moved to Houston to get a fresh start, and God has just been doing some amazing things in her life. When we talk about helping people who need Jesus to know Jesus, helping people who know Jesus to grow in Jesus, helping people to not only be a disciple, but help make disciples. Shaquana is such a powerful, powerful testimony about what God can do in your life. I want you all to encourage her today as she comes. Come on.
Good morning. On June 22nd, 2022, my son was murdered in a senseless act of gang violence. I became angry, confused, mad. I was mad at God. I couldn't understand how God chose my son, you know, my son. And I searched for a year. For a year, I looked for myself. I tried to figure out why, how, what made you figure 15 years was enough time. You know, with me, with my son, you know, they kept telling me, oh, God needed him, you know, and I'm like, I needed him too, you know. So for a year, I searched, and I just couldn't find an answer. So after a year, I decided, I'm like, I'm going to move. I'm going to move to Houston. And at the time, I didn't know. At the time, I didn't know that, God was getting ready to move me to answer every question that I had, you know. So I came to Good Hope. I came in October of 2023. I came in October, and when I first got here, I met Sister Whitley, and Sister Whitley, she told me about a class called I Will. So I signed up for I Will. And Miss Lakeisha was my facilitator. And I signed up for I Will, and Miss Lakeisha went over with me every reason People don't. Every reason people leave the church, every reason, you know, people give up on programs and God, really. And at that time with Miss Lakeisha, I decided I will. I said to myself and Miss Lakeisha, I will. I will give it a try. I will give it a try. I completed I will. And honestly, I will became my motivation, like my reason. Some days I would just be in the bed and I'd just be like, I can't make it. I can't. I'm just not going to do it. And I remembered that I told Miss Lakeisha I will. So I would get up and I would just be like, just let me get there. Like, if I get there, I can talk to Miss Lakeisha about it. Like, I can tell her what's going on. I finished I will, and I was told about Rooted and Grounded. I was excited. I'm like, okay, I'm going. I signed up for Rooted and Grounded, and on the first day, with Miss Misha and all of my Rooted and Grounded family, I sat in there and I cried. I cried and I told them, I'm like, I'm confused. I don't understand. Like, I don't understand my purpose. I don't understand why is this happening to me. I just do not understand. And my Rooted family, they told me, they like, just trust the process. Like, just give it time. Just trust the process. So I started, I'm reading, I'm going through. And the week of prayer week, I remember sitting in my closet, and I remember staying in there for an hour. I have stayed in there for an hour. So the last like 15 minutes, I was taught to yield, to just sit and just listen and just listen. So like before the prayer day though, I explained to my Rooted family, I'm like, God don't talk to me. Like, God just do not talk to me. I'm like, I've been asking God questions for a year. And God ain't said nothing to me. And my Rooted group again, my Rooted family again told me, you know, trust the process. Like, trust it. Like, you know, trust it. So I sat, I prayed, like I said, for an hour. The last 15 minutes, I waited. Like, I don't hear nothing. Like, he didn't speak to me again. And I got up, and I got ready to go to bed. And I pulled this shirt down. And this is the shirt. I never read it before. Didn't even know it was in my closet. And I put the shirt on, and the shirt said, I got this. Stop worrying. Signed, God. And that, I mean, it blew my mind. Like, I had never in my life experienced that. So I'm still going. I'm getting in a better space. I'm trusting the process. Like my Rooted family tell me every Sunday when we meet, trust the process. Take it day by day. So 9-10 weeks into Rooted, I'm driving to work one morning. I'm driving. And I just started crying. Like, I don't know why. Like, I don't, like, I'm just driving my car and I'm crying. And I look up in the rearview mirror and I smile and I'm like, oh my God, I'm smiling. I'm crying because I'm happy. Like, I'm crying because I'm happy. And I waited and I told my Rooted family about it. Like, I explained to them and, you know, God used Rooted and Grounded to change my life. Like, God, like, I didn't understand. I didn't know. I didn't plan on it. But he used it to change my life. And so I urge anybody who has not signed up to sign up. You know, I started, I was confused. I was hopeless. Like, I had no hope at all. And God used Rooted and Grounded. He gave me clarity, you know. And for everybody who's new to the program and to everything like I was, like my Rooted family told me, trust the process. It might get hard in the beginning, but trust the process. So, because not only did God use good hope, no, not only did God use rooted and grounded to give me clarity, but God showed out. Like, God showed out. God didn't only give me hope, but God gave me good hope. So, thank you.
Come on, y'all thank God for Shaquana. Thank you, sweetheart. What a tremendous testimony. I told you all in the beginning of 2023, and that's why I say to you all how proud I am of you as a church, that we were going to make an intentional shift from having church and people coming to church to being church. And what does that mean? What does that look like? And I told you in 2023, everybody has 3 years to begin their discipleship journey and process, not just being a disciple, but then making disciples. And if that's not the kind of church you want to be a part of, it's okay. I will recommend you to any church that you want to go to and do nothing. It's fine. I'm good with that. Somebody said, man, Pastor, how can you say that? Churches, you trying to get people to come. No, we're trying to make disciples. We're not just trying to draw a crowd. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. We're not just trying to draw a crowd. If churchtainment is what you want, if you just want to go and hide somewhere and you don't want to see God move in your life and do great things in your life, please let me recommend a church to you. Because this is not the place for you. Because we're committed to not going to church, not having church. We're committed to being church, being all that God has created us to be, the salt of the earth and the light of the world, so that people can see those good works and give glory to God our Father. Come on, let's thank God for Shaquana one more time. All right, where are all my May birthdays? Stand up wherever you are, May birthdays. Well, we're singing happy. Happy birthday to you. Well, we're singing happy. Oh, Lord, happy birthday to you. We hope you have. Hey, we're singing happy. Ooh, we're singing happy. Yeah, we're singing happy. Happy birthday to you. Yeah. Oh, yes. Pray that you have a great birthday and have many, many more. Let's go to God in prayer and ask God's blessings on our time today. Father, we bless you.
And we thank you for the opportunity to be in your corporate worship setting and to be in your word. We pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say, that it will be pleasing in your sight. Have your way, Lord, that your people will be edified and that you will be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So if you're a basketball fan, if you're a hockey fan, you know that those two sports, two of the four major sports in this country, are in playoff season. And playoff season is distinctively different from the regular season. Once the regular season is over, now everything starts over and you want to get into the playoffs. And the number one thing you want is to be victorious. You want to be victorious because at the end of the season, only one team will actually feel like they had a worthwhile season. And that's the one who hoists the trophy at the end of the season. And so teams will do whatever they need to do. They will change lineups. They will shift responsibilities in order to give themselves the best chance to be victorious. What's interesting to me, my brothers and sisters, is that while teams do everything that they can to be victorious in playing a game, too many of us who are living our lives don't do what we need to do to be victorious in our day-to-day living. And maybe the saddest fact is there might not be a place that's more true than in the Church of Jesus Christ. There is this misnomer, there is this misinformation going around that somehow when you are a Christian, you are supposed to walk around sad, that you are supposed to look frumpy, that you're supposed to be defeated, that you're always fighting, always trying to, and everything, I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain. Can't have no good mountains, can't never make it to the mountaintop, right? Always going through, always dealing with something and not being taught what it means to have victory in Jesus. If you have been fighting through strongholds since we got started, and today we're starting this week around there is an enemy and looking at strongholds again in life. And for those of you who are not enrooted, you can go to the hub and you can find the information there. This idea of strongholds, these things that are holding us back, that are keeping us down. If you have had any type of interaction with your stronghold, you will know that you might beat your stronghold for a moment, but it'll come back as soon as the door is open. And so the question today is, how do you walk in victory? How can you live your life in a way that you being up is the norm and the regular, not being down? How can you walk in victory more than you walk in defeat? In our text today, the Apostle Paul shares with us some very powerful theological truths that if we apply them to our lives will help us to walk the way the Lord wants us to walk. Today, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to live a life of victory. How to live a life of victory. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Three things I want you to see today that I believe will give you some handles on how to live a victorious life. Romans chapter 8 is our foundational text. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, you need to realize God is for you. If you're going to live a life of victory, you need to realize God is for you. When Paul gets to Romans chapter 8, he is declaring throughout this chapter some fundamental theological truths that he wants us to not only know, but he wants us to apply to impact our day-to-day living so that we can walk in the victory that God has provided for us. In Romans 8:31, the writer says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" God has acted for you, not against you. Too many times in life, when things don't go our way, or when we have to face difficulties that we would much rather avoid, we make the mistake of thinking that somehow God is against us. Here's what I've learned in life. Whatever you go through in life, even if you wanted to avoid it, the only way you were able to get through it is because God is for you. See, here's what I've learned. What God doesn't keep you from, God will keep you through. And many times it's hard for us to see God because we are so busy looking at what we're going through that we fail to see the one who is bringing us through. The text says God has provided all we need to provide all we need. God has provided all we need to provide all we need. He has given us everything that we need in order to become all he wants us to be. As a matter of fact, if you look at this, first and foremost, he says, God has given you assurance. Look at verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? This "if" is not in the subjunctive mood expressing doubt. It is actually a statement of condition that when God is for you, it doesn't matter what other people say or do, because nobody can be against you if God is for you. Can I tell you the mistake some of us made? Some of us undervalue who God is and what he has done in our lives, and we overvalue the opinion of other people. There's somebody in here right now, you living for the likes, and when folk don't like you, when they don't click on your stuff on social media, when folk don't give you praise, somehow you allow that to impact you more than the assurance that we have in the word of God that God is for us. He says, God is your assurance. He is with us. But not only that, he is, the Bible says, your Savior. Look at verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? In other words, here's what he says. He says, God has given you his son. He has given you his only begotten son. He has given you his best. And if God has given you his best, why do you think God would deny you of anything else? It's like me giving my son my brand new car, but I won't give him money to put gas in it. It's like if I've given you my car to drive, won't I at least put gas in the car? Like, I'm going to give you what you need in order to experience the best that I've made available to you. And the Bible says that he did not spare his own son. He did not refuse. He did not hesitate to give us his best. And the Bible says because of that, he is our Savior. But not only that, look at verse 32 again. He says, God is your provider. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things, whatever it is that you need? Now, can I tell you part of the problem with our walk with God? Many of us confuse our need with our greed. And we confuse what we want with what we need. And too many times we get angry with God when we don't get what we want. Yes, sir. When we should be thanking God because we've gotten everything we need. He says, God has given you what you need and has not held back from you what you need. And then he says, just in case you're having trouble seeing God moving on earth, he says, don't forget that the Lord is moving on your behalf in heaven because he's interceding for you. Look at verse 34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. In the body of Christ, in the church of Jesus Christ, we talk about his death, his burial, and his resurrection, but we do not focus much on his intercession. That God is interceding for us. The Holy Ghost is speaking through him. Jesus is interceding on our behalf, taking up for us in glory. He is providing advocacy for us. And his presence in heaven is there to plea on our behalf. Look at Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. I told you, number one, you need to realize God is for you. Everybody say, for me. Here's the second thing. You need to remember God loves you no matter what. God loves you no matter what. Who shall separate us, verse 35, Romans 8, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul wants you and wants me to know that nothing, absolutely nothing, will separate us from the love of God. That God's love is absolute. God's love is perfect. And here's what we need to realize. Too many times in life, we don't feel love depending on what we go through in life. And many times we fail to understand that God's love for us is unconditional and is separate from whatever it is we're going through in life. Circumstances should never determine whether or not you recognize God's love for you. Most of you in here, if you have children, you can testify to the fact that there are times your children may not feel like you love them. But that doesn't mean you don't love them. Just because they can't get what they want, you know. And we don't get this a whole lot in our community, but we see it in other communities, you know, when children holler at their parents, I can't stand you. Now, I knew not to say that in my house, right? But you know, some other houses, you know, those of a lighter hue, you know, they might be able to say that, you know. I hate you. Now, I knew not to say that, right? Because there was going to be a funeral that week. But even when those words are unspoken by our children, and they have better sense than to say that to us out loud, the fact of the matter is the decisions that you make, sometimes tough decisions, never negates your love for them. As a matter of fact, you make those decisions because you do love them. And sometimes in difficult times when we don't get what we want, the way we want it, when we want it, we may start questioning God's love. Can I tell you something about difficulties in life? Typically, difficulties in life show up because of one of several reasons. Sometimes the difficulties in life are satanically devised. The Bible says the devil walks to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes the devil will come at you directly. He'll come at you through your health, for example. Maybe he'll come at you through your home. Maybe he'll come at you through your heart because you'll be hurt by somebody that you've given a lot of love to. Maybe it'll show up in your head. Your mind will be troubled, right? You'll start thinking things you shouldn't think. And those trials and tribulations are satanically devised. Sometimes difficulties come in our lives, watch this now, because of your own stubbornness and stupidity. Yeah, sometimes we just don't want to bend. We don't want to bend on what we want, and we don't want to listen to anybody else. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, Pastor, say, you know, man, you sure was right about that. I know you want to say I told you so. And I said, no, I don't want to say I told you so. I just want you to do what I tell you before. You got to find out I'm right on the other side of you not listening.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I didn't get these scars for no reason. Right? Been through some stuff in life. I'm just trying to help you avoid some of the stuff I've gone through because of my stubbornness and my stupidity. Isn't it amazing? It's just a side note. Isn't it amazing how young people think their friends know more than their parents know? And that their friends love them more than their parents do? I just thought I'd throw this in a side note. The Holy Ghost needed somebody to hear that. I don't know where you are. Just... see, God does not shelter you from difficulties. He just wants you to know that his love never leaves you, even when you find yourself in difficult situations. Sometimes God says, I need you to go through difficulty, because watch this. Even when it's satanically devised or it is self-imposed, it's always sovereignly allowed. And sometimes God wants you to go through things because he understands it's through trials and tribulations that you grow.
Yeah,
you don't grow through good times. You grow through the bad times. When the storm is raging, that's when you pray like you never prayed before. That's when you grow closer to God. When the sun is shining, you want to play. When the storm is raging, that's when you want to pray. And God understands that it's in the midst of trials and difficulties in life that you can grow. Look at Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. Wait a minute, how do we rejoice in our suffering? Paul says it's not the suffering, it's what comes out of the suffering. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love, there it is, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Sometimes when God lets you go through something, it's because he doesn't want you to focus on some things. He wants you to focus on all things. Look at Romans 8:28. God assures you that the difficulties of life are working for you. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, can I tell you, when you go through things in life, sometimes it's hard to see all things because you're looking at one thing. You take a snapshot and you look at a snapshot instead of looking at the whole movie, right? And you don't want to get up and walk out of the movie too soon because you just want to wait till the end and then see the credits, right? Because the whole story hasn't been unfolded. And sometimes we get upset at moments in time and we miss what God is trying to do throughout our lives. See, Jesus says you're going to go through some stuff in life. No getting around it. But he says in the midst of going through, you have to remember that God loves you. What are some of the things you got to go through? Look at what he says. He says you got to go through tribulation, struggle, trials, temptations, suffering, affliction. You got to go through distress, anguish, trouble, agony, anxiety. You got to go through persecution, to be abused, to be talked about, to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be harassed, to be attacked. You're going to go through famine. You're going to go through some lean times, some times of want, when you don't have what you want and maybe even question whether or not you're getting what you need. You're going to go through some times of nakedness, to be stripped of clothes, literally, and all of your earthly comforts. But sometimes God has to strip you of your pride. And God will take you through some situations and circumstances. Can I tell y'all something as the Lord brings this to my mind? One of the great books that I've read in my life is a book entitled Envy, Overcoming the Enemy Within. It's by a gentleman named Bob Sorge. Bob Sorge has a tremendous testimony. He was a worship leader who lost his voice and can only speak just above a whisper. And when he speaks at conferences, literally everything has to be quiet in order to hear this man speak above a whisper. Imagine if you were a worship leader and all of a sudden this is as loud as you can talk. He's gone to doctors after doctors and specialists after specialists, and they have not found any way to get him back his voice. He says in his book, Envy, Overcoming the Enemy Within, that envy is a unique sin, because envy is not only a sin where he punishes the person who is envying, but many times God will do something to the one being envied so their position is no longer enviable. He says, sometimes when you want to cause envy because you want to be seen and you want folk to say, ooh, if I had your hand, I'd throw your hand in. And folk look at you and say, whoa, you got it going on. He says, many times what God will do because you are causing other people to envy, God will strip you of what you have so that your position is no longer so enviable. Sometimes you got to go through danger to be exposed to risk, to be confronted with dangers to your body, mind, your soul, your property, your family. Sometimes you'll face the sword to be killed, figuratively or literally. Many times in America, we don't understand that there are people around the world who are losing their lives for the name of Jesus. 23 churches a month are burned to the ground in Pakistan right now by Muslim extremists because of people who say they follow Jesus. And you know what those followers of Jesus do? Out of those ashes, they rebuild another church. And they still are bold in their witness. One lady told me that her sister told her she was going to kill her for being a Christian. She talks to her over the phone. Her sister is still in Pakistan and says, if you ever come back here, I'm killing you. She's a Muslim. And I asked the lady, I said, what did you tell your sister? She said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'll see you when I get there. Based on what you've done and been through or had to deal with in life, you may feel like God doesn't love you. You may feel unworthy of God's love. But here's the wonderful thing about God's love. Circumstances are not evidence of God's love. Situations are not evidence of God's love. Don't allow what you've been through or are going through right now to cause you to doubt God's love for you. God loves you. And for somebody who may be wrestling with some strongholds right now, I want to encourage you. God loves you. And as Shaquana said it so beautifully, God's got you. And he's with you in the midst of your struggle. Let me get to the third thing real quick. Number three, you need to realize God can give you victory over all the challenges you face in life. God can give you victory over all the challenges you face in life. Verse 37, Romans chapter 8. Know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. One of the things that I wanted to do today was give you some context around verse 37. We often hear people say we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And the question is, conquerors over what? And Paul tells us in verses 35 and 36, the things that you may be dealing with, the things that you may be going through. Listen carefully. The things from which being a Christian do not exempt you. He says, but despite what you have had to go through, despite what you are dealing with right now, despite the battles that may be waiting for you, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. That word for conqueror is an interesting word. It's a hapax legomenon, and that's a fancy way of saying it appears only one time in the Greek New Testament. It's not just having a regular win. It's a resounding victory. It's a no doubt victory. It's not a we won the game at the buzzer with a buzzer beater. This is we beat you by 50 points every time we play. He says, no, this is an overwhelming super victory. You are a super conqueror. He says, you are more than conquerors through him who loved you. Here's part of the problem. Many of us don't experience the more than conquerors because we're trying to win through ourselves and not through him. See, we're fighting, and we're fighting in our flesh, and we think we're smart enough. We think we're connected enough. We may even make the mistake of thinking we're spiritual enough, which is interesting because we can only be as spiritual as we are connected with Jesus. But when we start thinking we're spiritual apart from him, then that spirituality is really just an expression of our faith in our flesh. You do know you can be saved and still be functioning in your flesh. Wait a minute. Let me put a cord in the meeting park there, because some of y'all got this blank look on your face. No, you do know you can be a Christian and still be functioning in your flesh. You think you are a conqueror through him, but you're really trying to be a conqueror through your flesh. And in your attempt to be independent, you are not showing the right dependence you should have on God. Paul says nothing can separate you from his love. And you are more than conquerors in him, in all that the Lord has provided. Victory is yours. No condemnation, no obligation, no frustration, no separation. Through him, all you have needed, his hands have provided. And victory is yours through him. You have to do your part, but your part doesn't matter if you don't rest in God having done his part. This old song we used to sing some years ago said, I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Amen. The chorus said, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Whatever your stronghold is, whatever you're wrestling with, I'm here to tell you, you've got victory in Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's pray. God, thank you for somebody today. It was new information. For somebody, it was just a reminder. It is so easy, God, to have and experience spiritual drift in our lives. We can get to a place where we're focusing on you and thanking you and giving you glory and praise, and just over time we'll drift from that focus to focusing on ourselves. We're focusing on what we're going through and not on the one who's bringing us through. So for somebody who needs you today, help them to know that victory is in you. But for somebody who knows you, who may have unknowingly and unwittingly began to rely on their flesh, on their scripture memory, on their knowledge of the word, on their reading of the word, and have not been relying on you, the person, the presence, the power that you provide to us. Remind us today, God, that our ultimate victory is in you. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Let all of God's people say amen.